Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, your name is holy, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. Okay, thank you. Praise God. I'm glad to be here. We've had a good conference over at the hotel, and we're looking forward to this time just as much as we look forward to that, because this congregation is the direct result of our spiritual sons and daughter coming and obeying God. And this congregation's growing and being nurtured every week, twice, three times a week, in the things of the Spirit. And that's precious to our hearts. Amen. Greetings to you from our congregation, which some of them may be watching right now. And if they are, it's about 3:30 in the morning, I think, or something like that. And so we welcome them by live stream. My wife, you've never met my wife, but she sends her greetings as well. I hear you calling Pastor Geraldine Mommy. Is that correct? Well, my wife is great mommy. And she sends her greetings. She will be here at some point, possibly in the near future. And is that ringing? Is that just me? I think that's just, I guess they'll get it fixed. But but she'll be here, and we look forward for that time, and you'll love her just as much. Maybe you'll love her more than me. I don't know. Amen. But we're excited to see what God's doing here in your lives. Praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful for pastors? Aren't you thankful for the people God sent to you? To feed you, to nurture you, to tend to you, love you, encourage you, give you the word, and develop your faith and grow. Sometimes just encourage you with a little bit of strong encouragement. But they're a blessing, and we thank God for them. If I need to move this at all, let me know, up or down. You tell me, I'll do it. Praise the Lord. How many of you are glad you're here this morning? You, how many of you would rather be here than the best jail in town? Oh, good. That's most of you. There we go. There, he raised his hand. we're just thrilled to be with you. I have some things on my heart. God's been dealing with us as a congregation back in Cedar Rapids about many different things. And we've been growing, the church has been growing, feeding on these things. And Many of the things that the church there has been established on, we take for granted, and we kind of don't think much about it anymore. I'm talking about we don't take the time to teach a whole lot on it anymore. But whenever it comes to helping get a new congregation established, these things tend to come to our hearts and our minds. And so there's some things that we have established in our congregation that has greatly helped our congregation, that God put it on my heart even before I left to come, put it on my heart, and I just kept checking my heart to see if it's the right thing. Wanted to make sure we're doing the right thing here. We've only got one service and one opportunity here this morning, so we want to be accurate. We don't want to just be doing something we thought. But it just kept coming. It kept coming. It's been coming the last few days. Woke up this morning, checked my heart again to see if it was the right thing, and I couldn't get anything else. I just knew this is what God wanted me to talk about, so we're going to talk about it. So I want you to go, if you brought your Bible, over to the, we'll start over in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3. If you brought your Bible, did you bring your Bible this morning?
Yes, sir.
Hold it up real high if you brought your Bible. Hold it, I want to see it. Proverbs chapter number 3, but before you do, hold up your Bible. All right. This church and the pastor here doesn't preach out of the newspaper. You know, he preaches out of the Bible. Isn't that right? So we're going to go to Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. It says something to us regarding an aspect of our lives that affects our lives every day. It says to us here in Proverbs chapter number 3, in verse number 9, it says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." Now honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Amen. Notice what will happen as a result of that. He said, verse 10, "So shall thy barns be filled with plenty." You might not have a barn. You might have bank accounts. But you could say bank accounts be filled with plenty. "And thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Isn't that a good promise?
Yes, sir.
How many of you thank God for the promises of God?
Amen.
That's a promise given us in the Word that tells us that God wants to fill our natural, you know, containers of where we hold our resources and so forth. He wants to fill them with plenty and even burst out. That's a promise. That's not something that preachers came up with. This was in the Bible long before preachers came up with it. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about this morning. Amen. Say, I would like for you to be more excited about it, but you'll get more excited as we go, because this has been a rich answer for my life. And by understanding what we're going to talk about this morning and practicing it and learning to practice it out of the right heart, not out of pressure, not out of legalism, but because we desire to do it, we love God. We want to see His work prevail. We want to see, we thank God for what He's done in our life, in other words. We've learned to do this, and it has blessed our lives richly. And it would be awfully selfish of us to have a secret in the Bible, have a key truth in the Bible that has blessed our lives so much and hold it to ourselves. It'd be selfish of us. Amen. So we're going to look at this truth. This is actually, as we'll see as we go, honoring the Lord with the first of our substance is actually an element of worship.
Amen.
Amen. We sometimes read the Bible and see certain aspects of what it means to worship God. And certainly, you know, what's in the Bible is true. You know, we lift up holy hands. How many of you know we can worship God with our mouth and sing praises unto Him? We can worship God in the dance. Isn't that right?
Amen.
We can worship God a lot of different ways. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 12, it says that presenting our bodies a living sacrifice is spiritual worship. So crucifying our flesh and yielding ourselves to the Spirit of God so that He can use us, doing His will, that's worship.
Amen.
Amen. There's a lot of different things that the Bible talks about regarding worship. But if you look closely in the book of Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter, let's go back there, Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter. This whole 26th chapter of Deuteronomy talks about the tithe. And it calls it the first fruits. Then and later in the chapter, it calls it in verse number 12, the tithe. Let's go to verse number 1. Deuteronomy 26. Yeah, verse number 1. It says, Deuteronomy 26, 1. It shall be when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance and possesses it. Now, I know this is Old Testament. People say, well, that's Old Testament. We're under the New Testament, which we are, of course, under the New Testament. But we'll see that this was brought over into the New Testament. He said in verse 2, thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And it goes on and talks about presenting that basket of the first of everything we receive to the Lord. And then it goes down in verse number 12, when thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithe of thine increase. Notice he called it in verse number 2, the first fruits, and then he changed to call it in verse number 12, the tithe. So it's the same thing, isn't it? But what I wanted you to see, the first fruits and tithes, the same thing. But what I wanted you to see is right in the middle of all that, and let's go down to verse number 10. And he said, we're supposed to say, right in verse number 10, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and do what? Worship before the Lord thy God.
Amen.
The tithe is worship.
Amen.
Bringing the first fruits is worship.
Yes.
And he calls it back here in Proverbs chapter number 3, honoring the Lord. So we're seeing some things, I think, sometimes that if you listen to some present the subject of tithes or bringing first fruits to God, they almost give the idea that you just kind of pressure the people until they give it and they'll be blessed in spite of themselves. And that's not reality. The Bible here says, it shows us the heart God was looking for. It shows that we are to do this out of a heart of worship and a heart of honor for God, all He's done for us, all He's given us, all He's blessed us with. Isn't that right? And so we want to make sure, because people will sometimes say, well, that tithing business, you know, that's all under the law. Well, actually, it was established in the Bible 500 years before the law was even ever written.
Amen.
Before Moses ever got the law.
Amen.
Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. And if you study that out, that was about 500 years before Moses.
Yes. Yes,
amen. And we'll look at some of that. Jacob, he tithed about 250 years before the law. And so tithing, or putting God first, was established. Actually, if you go back and look at it, it was established way back in Genesis chapter number 4.
Amen.
It talks about Cain and Abel bringing offerings unto the Lord. And Cain, he brought some of the offerings. And then it says, but Abel, he brought the first. The first that God had given him. You know, he had cattle and crops and so forth. And he brought the first crops that came in. He gave the first to God.
Amen.
So people sometimes they say, well, this is just something under the law, and we're not living under the law, so tithing's not for us today. Well, it was established way before the law, and we'll see that it's even over in the New Testament. We'll see three or four or five different references in the New Testament to it. Most Christians don't realize it's in the New Testament. They'll say, well, the New Testament doesn't say much about it. Well, it says more about it than most Christians realize. But I want to share it with you, not out of a heart of putting people under pressure or putting them under bondage, but show you how this can be a great blessing to your life. Because, like I said, this has blessed my life ever since I was, I'm going to estimate around 10 years old, about 8 to 10 years old. My parents taught me, because they started giving me a little allowance every week, a little bit of money, you know. And my parents taught me, now they said, you give the first 10% of that to God. So I started doing that. I've tithed all my life. I don't think there's anything in my life that I haven't tithed on. I mean, it's just been a way of life for me. And I have had a blessed life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I give credit to where credit is due. It's due to God in my life, honoring Him, putting Him in His proper place.
Amen.
This isn't bondage to me. I don't feel under pressure to do it. I like what somebody said one time. They said, because people say, well, that's just under the law. It was brought into the law. We see that in the Old Testament. God brought it into the Old Testament law, and it was regulated under the Old Testament law. And today we're not under the law, but tithing was well before the law and after it as well.
Amen.
Amen. And, somebody said one time, they said, the law required, but grace desires. Because we're not under the law, we're under grace. Under the law, tithing was required. Under grace, tithing is something I desire. I desire to do this. I do it because I want to. I do it because I am worshiping Him. I thank Him for what He's given to me. I do it because I honor Him and recognize He's the source of these things that I'm enjoying in this life.
Amen.
And I'm not here to, you know, put the squeeze on anybody. I'm not here to tell you, you know, you better tithe, or, you know, your tires on your car are going to go flat, you know, and you're going to have a hard life, and, you know, your food's going to, you know, go bad in your refrigerator and bad things are going to happen. I'm not here to put you under that kind of bondage.
Amen.
Nor is God.
Amen.
I said, nor is God.
Amen.
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 I don't know if you have in Nigeria like what we have had in the United States called the mafia. You ever heard of ever seen any U.S. movies about the mafia? Anybody know what, help me out, Pastor Ike. Do they have comprehension of what the mafia would be? Huh? Gangs. Yeah. I see some people shaking their head. They might understand a little bit what I'm talking about. These are groups. I'll describe what they do in the United States sometimes. They will threaten people and threaten businesses that you have to pay us money, pay us off, or we're going to destroy your business, or we're going to destroy your house, or kill your children, or something like that. And they force them to give them money to pay them off so that they don't hurt them. How many of you know God's not a mafia boss? You better pay your tithes, and if you don't, I'm going to destroy your crops. That's not the heart of God. I said, that's not the heart of God. The heart of God is, I'm doing all this for you. Recognize me. That's what the tithe really is. Recognize and honor that it's me that's doing this. Amen. And be grateful for it. You know, it's awfully ungrateful. Somebody does something for you that you don't reciprocate and say, thank you. I really appreciate what you did for me.
Right. Amen.
Awfully ungrateful.
Yeah.
And so the tithe is just being grateful and worshiping Him and say, I honor what you're doing in my life. I recognize this is not my doing. I recognize that if it wasn't for you in my life, I wouldn't be enjoying this and succeeding here and prospering there, and my children wouldn't be healthy and strong. And so I worship you, and I bring this to show you that you're first in my life, and I give you your proper place. That's the heart of tithing. Amen. So we want to understand this, and we're not here to put you in bondage. The tithe doesn't go to a man, it goes to the work of God. So, and I'm not taking anything for myself this morning. I'm just here to give you some keys that have helped and blessed my life.
Amen.
How many of you want some answers?
Amen.
There is a place in God, putting him in his proper place, that there is no limit to what he'll do for you.
Amen.
Even in the area of your finances.
Amen.
So would it be okay if we look at that this morning? You know, one verse that we can refer to in the New Testament, Matthew 6:33, so well understood, so well taught. I'm sure here you understand it, but how many of you can quote it with me? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what'll happen? You never can tell what God's going to do. Huh? No, he'll add all these things. All these things will be added to us.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Now, sometimes people hear preachers talking about this, and they think preachers are just money-minded. Well, I'm just Bible-minded. Just Bible-minded. I have to deal with things that concern finances every day. I got things I got to do. I got bills I got to pay. I got things I need. You know, I need food, I need clothes, I need all these things. And I deal with these. You deal with them every day. If you deal with something every day, God's interested in that area being a success in your life. He wants that area to flourish. Amen. So he said, here's some keys how to make this area of your life flourish. I'm so thankful God's interested in this area of my life.
Amen.
How many of you know, sometimes preachers sort of have the idea, or they give the idea when they preach, God's interested in spiritual things, but he's not interested in natural material things. That's the idea people can get if they listen to preachers sometimes. He's not interested in natural things. The Bible said he is.
Yes, he is.
Amen. The Bible said we as natural parents, if our child asks for a fish, we won't give him a stone. And then he said, how much more?
How much more?
So your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him.
Amen.
God's interested in these things. I said, God's interested in these things. So we shouldn't treat it like, you know, that's not spiritual. That's not important. It must be, because Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart is also. This is very connected to your heart. There's nothing more dear to a lot of people than their finances.
That's right.
Amen. So we want to look and see what the Bible has to say about it. So the New Testament, one of the New Testament verses you can look at, Proverbs 6:33, seek you first the kingdom of God. In other words, just like it said back there in Deuteronomy, that the tithe is the first. And it's holy. It says it belongs to the Lord. He said in the New Testament, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, another aspect, so what the tithe is, number one, the tithe is giving God the first. If you look up tithe, it means 10%. So it's of all that comes into our life financially, we honor God with the first 10%.
Amen.
Not just 10%, the first 10%. Because honor, what I've learned about honor is honor puts a person that I'm honoring, or in this case God, puts him before me.
Amen. Yes.
So I am honoring God by putting him first before my material needs,
yes,
before my financial interests.
Yes.
I put him before me.
Amen.
That's why husbands let their wives walk first.
Amen.
They should. Put their wives, let them walk in front of them and open the door for them and so forth, and let them go in the door first and so forth and so on. Because the Bible says to husbands, honor your wives.
Amen.
Dwell with your wives according to honor and so forth.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So whenever we, whoever we honor, we put before ourselves. We put their interests, we put their needs, we put what they are, asking before ourselves. And God, if there's anyone that belongs before ourselves, it's God. I said it's God. The next aspect of the tithe is that the tithe is not something that we pay like a bill. Meaning, the tithe is something that is given. It's not a payment. In other words, we're not paying God, we're giving to God. You can see that here in Proverbs chapter 3. Give is mentioned in the context of honor. Do you have bills like electric bill? They send an electric bill to your house? Whenever you pay that bill, what would an average electric bill cost here per month? Do they pay per month? Huh? How many naira per month, you think? Depends on the house. How much is an electric bill? Somebody shout something out. 6,000 naira, is that a month? 6,000 naira a month, so we'll go with that. 6,000 naira a month. Well, when you write out or send the money to them for 6,000 naira, you're paying a bill. You're not giving them any extra. You're not rounding it up because you love them. Amen? You're not saying, I'm going to give 6,000, I'm going to give 6,100. Because I just appreciate them sending me the electric every month. No, you're just paying a bill. That's the amount due, so you give them exactly what's due, and you don't give them any extra. Right? But with God, here's something that we need to see when it comes to tithing. With God, tithing is not a payment. It's not a mere cash payment. Tithing is something that it's an honor thing. It's a giving thing. It's a heart thing. Amen. You're not just saying, I love the electric company so much. My heart is so grateful to the electric company for sending me electricity that I just desire to give them some more money than they really even asked. No. Huh? No. You're just paying a payment. Your heart's not even in it. Yeah. In fact, you're probably, I don't know why they keep putting the price up. Isn't that right? It's a payment. But that's not the way we tithe. Amen. For that reason, in my Pastor Debbie and I's life, if our tithe is $100, Pastor Debbie and I's tithe is $100. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying if it were. If our tithe is $100, or let's put it this way: if our tithe comes to $87 or something like that, Debbie and I always round it up. Amen. We'll always say, it's close to 100. So thankful, God, that you gave us this money. Thank you. And that's close to 100. Amen. Round it up. Amen. Round it up. Amen. Because it's a heart thing. When you get a revelation that it's a heart thing and not a payment, it'll change the whole way you tithe. In fact, I'm convinced that's why some people never see much results out of tithing. Because it's just a payment. If their tithe is so many naira, they give exactly that many naira, and they don't go over it all because, I got to keep all that I can keep here. It's not a heart. Their heart's not connected to it, just a payment. So that's the second aspect of it. The third aspect of it is, go back to Hebrews chapter number 7. Hebrews chapter number 7 says something about Abraham giving tithes to Melchizedek. And it says here in chapter number 7, verse number... let's back up. Let's go to verse 1. This is Hebrews 7, verse number 1. This Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, whom Abraham met, returned from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. To him also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First, being by interpretation king of righteousness, it's talking about Melchizedek, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. He's talking about this Melchizedek was the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you kept on reading, we don't have time to go through it all. But if you keep reading, you can see that. Then he said, verse 4, "Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoil." Now that's the King James Version. It says Abraham gave the tenth of the spoil. The Amplified brings something out that I looked up in the Greek to see if it was accurate, and it's absolutely accurate in the Greek. When it says here in the verse 4, the tenth of the spoil, the Amplified is more accurate. If you've ever heard of the Amplified Bible, the Amplified Bible says the topmost, the pick of the heap. The pick of the heap. Huh? Notice that. The pick of the heap. Now, some translations say, like the Rotherham translation, he gave out of the choicest spoils. Another translation says he gave tithes from the best of the spoils. Another one says the finest of the spoils. And he's talking about whenever he had, remember, he had to go into battle to recover Lot and all his family and all his possessions and so forth. And whenever he won the battle, he got all the spoils that they had stolen. And he gave Melchizedek, when he returned from that battle, Melchizedek met him, which was a type of Christ, and he gave 10% of everything that he had gotten in that battle. But this verse is very accurate in the Greek. The Greek actually says he didn't just give 10%. He gave the best 10%. In other words, the enemy had carried off a whole bunch of their cattle, and Abraham recovered all their cattle, whenever he gave 10% of the cattle to Melchizedek, he said, "Let's find the best one here. That one's got a broken leg, not that one. That one there's got runny eyes and it snots out the nose now. I'm not going to give that. There's a fat cow right there. Okay, pull that one aside. That's for the tithe."
Amen. Amen.
That's
right. Amen.
Can you see the heart in that? Amen. That's not a mere cash payment. If we get this, get a hold of this in our heart, tithing will be something we love to do.
Amen.
It's not something we got to pay it. I wish I didn't have to. I won't have as much money if I do this. And that kind of heart, God basically, and if that's our heart, God is basically saying, just keep it. Just keep it. If that's what you think you've got to do, if you got to pay me off, if you just got to do it and you don't want to, he's basically saying, just keep it. There's no faith attached to that. There's no worship attached. There's no honor in that. Amen. But see, tithing is really a heart issue. Tithing is really the ultimate heart test. It shows where our heart really is.
Amen.
Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also."
Yes, sir.
He's basically saying it reveals what's really going on the inside.
Amen.
Whoa!
Yes, sir.
Glory,
glory.
Amen. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching so good. What we need to understand is that there's so many aspects of the tithe when you look through the Old Testament and the New Testament. In fact, there's one verse in, I'll give you the reference here right now. It's Deuteronomy 26, Deuteronomy 26, I believe it's verse number 23. It's Deuteronomy 14, verse number 23. Deuteronomy 14, 23. One translation of that verse says, "The purpose of tithing is teach you to always put God first."
Amen.
In other words, he's always priority right in here. In our hearts. Amen. So when we preach and teach tithing, we ought to look for the heart God's looking for, not the mere cash payment. I have watched over the years, churches that struggle with the tithe and don't honor God and don't help the ministry that's blessing them, those churches never really have much anointing, and they never really grow. I'm just telling you what I've observed, because God sees them as not really wanting Him in their life, because they aren't honoring Him in His proper place.
That's right.
But those churches that just almost trip over themselves and can't wait till the tithing time.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, like in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. It talks about, Paul said, I want you to know of the grace of God on the churches of Macedonia. Oh, let's go over there. I said, let's go over there. Let's go over there. Oh, glory to God. This isn't bondage to me. This is liberty to me. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. That's another way of saying we want you to know the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. In other words, they were going through hard times financially, but they gave a generous offering. Then he said, and to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Notice that term, willing of themselves. Willing of themselves means that of their own initiative. They didn't need to be pumped up. They didn't need to be pressured. They didn't need somebody to really, you know, jerk it out of them to give an offering. They stirred themselves up. They wanted to do this. Praying us, verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And look at verse 5. This they did not as we hoped, but first gave themselves unto the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Notice that. Praying us with much entreaty. The preachers weren't pulling it out of them. They came and they said, oh, let us do this. Let us do this. Let us give. Amen. Somebody said, what makes a person act like that? Verse 1 told us. I want you to know of the grace. The grace. Hallelujah. This isn't legalism. This is grace. The law required grace desires. Grace is what's something that works the desire into you where you're begging somebody, hurry up, get to the offering time. This is burning a hole in my pocket. Somebody said, that doesn't even make no sense. Well, listen, this is supernatural, not natural. And this is how we get into supernatural things when it comes to finances, not just natural things, which is what we can do in our own efforts. Oh, glory to God. This is not bondage. This is not bondage. If you think it's bondage, keep it. Amen. Well, somebody said, I never heard a preacher say keep it. Well, God's basically saying, I'm not looking. In fact, there, that verse there, look at that verse. This they did not as we hoped. First gave themselves in verse 5 to the Lord. The Phillips translation says, to them it was not a mere cash payment. Amen. You know, like you pay a bill. He said to these people, it wasn't like that. They were begging us. You don't beg the electricity. As soon as you get your electric bill, you don't run real quick down to the electric company and say, here, please take this. I just love you so much. No, you're paying a bill. That's not what tithing is. I said, that's not what tithing is. I think some preachers have the idea, if you just shake people, turn them upside down, shake them till all the money falls out of the pockets, and you collect that and put it in the church fund, they're going to be blessed in spite of themselves. No, they won't. God's looking for willingness. Look here. Look back here. You're in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, right? Look at verse number 11. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that if there, as there was a readiness to will, this is talking about the same offering, as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted. According to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. It is accepted by God if it's done willingly. In other words, if that's true, the reverse is true. If it's not done willingly, it is not accepted by God. Let me tell you what tithes and offerings are. Offerings, let's use the word offering. Offering is just that. It is an offer. It is an offering. It is not automatically accepted because it is offered. You understand? I could offer you a front row seat, but you might say, no, I'd rather sit back a few rows. Isn't that right?
An offering is an offer to God. It's not automatically accepted. Right. Somebody said, I've never seen a preacher not accept an offering. We're not talking about a preacher. We're talking about God.
Right.
We're not given to the preacher. We're not given to the church. We're given to God.
Amen.
And he doesn't automatically accept it. I could take you to verses in the Bible that show God said, I will not receive an offering from you. Because it wasn't out of the right heart.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We've got to understand this and not just think it's all about a cash transaction. No, this is a heart thing. This is a faith thing. This is a love thing. This is an honor thing. This is a worship thing. This is, I want God to have the best that I have. Oh, glory to God. You know, the natural fleshly nature wants to keep the best for myself. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, if you're sitting at the table and somebody's passing the meat tray around, you look for the best piece of meat. Man, I'm gonna get me the best one here. Yeah, that's right. There's the best one. That's the natural fleshly tendency that we have. Our fleshly nature is selfish. But our new nature of the Spirit is not selfish. It is a love for God and an honor for God. And putting him first. We want him to have the best.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, glory.
Hallelujah.
I'll tell you, this is shouting ground.
Hallelujah.
So, number one, the tithe, the heart of the tithe is to give God something first. Number two, it's to give an honor, not pay. Number three, it's to give him our best. Number four, it is to worship God. We saw that in Deuteronomy 26. Number five, another aspect of the tithe, is that the tithe is already his. The tithe is already his. The Bible said that the tithe is holy unto the Lord. You ever read that? It says in Numbers 18, I believe it's verse number 14, it said, everything devoted in Israel shall be thine. Everything devoted. Say devoted.
Devoted.
Hallelujah. And another verse says, the tithe holy unto the Lord. In other words, it's already his. That's Leviticus 27, verse number 30. I'll read that to you. All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord.
Amen.
What does that mean? It is holy unto the Lord. What that means is, if you look up the word holy, it means sanctified, set apart.
Yes, sir.
And he said, it is the Lord's. It's holy unto the Lord. So it's set apart unto the Lord.
Yes, sir.
What we are doing is, we're basically not... we're not giving God anything in the sense of he had already said it's mine anyway. Now we are giving it to him in the sense that we could hold on to it if we chose to, because God won't force us to honor him with it. But what he's saying is, it's already mine. I have already said it's separated out and it belongs to me. I give you the choice of giving it to me, but it's already mine. So to hold it back is to have something stolen. Because he said, it's mine. That's an interesting thought. Now, some people say tithing isn't in the New Testament. I want you to go to a verse in the New Testament called a verse in Mark chapter number 12. Mark chapter number 12. Let's see here something. We could take a lot more time on the fact that it's devoted and separated unto God, but I want you to see this because we got to get to something else here. Mark chapter 12 says in verse number 17, Mark 12, 17, Jesus answered and said to them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. Anybody ever have to pay taxes here in Nigeria? That's Caesar. That's Caesar's. Caesar is the government. In that day, they had the Roman government, and Caesar was the head of that government. So he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar. He's talking about paying taxes.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said, pay your taxes. Did you know that?
Yes, sir.
Well, they're corrupt. I'm not going to pay my taxes. He said, pay them.
Yes,
he said, pay them.
Yes,
So Jesus said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. So what he's saying is, whenever the government says, this is how much taxes you owe, he's saying that belongs to the government. It's not yours to decide whether to give to pay that to the government, right? So just, and Jesus is saying in verse 17 here, just like there's something that belongs to the government, there's something that belongs to God. What does the Bible say belongs to God? The tithe is devoted. The tithe is holy. The tithe, he said, is mine. We read that. The tithe is holy unto the Lord. The tithe is the Lord's. So that verse, Jesus is teaching tithing. That's a tithing verse in the New Testament. People say, well, it's not in the New Testament. Jesus taught it. And we'll see another place he taught it. Amen. So he's saying something, there's something devoted. There's something that belongs to God. And then another aspect of the tithe we see over and over again is that he said, and we'll see this, we're going to read through a whole lot of verses here in a minute, but the tithe is not just, well, let's say it the way the Bible says. The tithe, the Bible talks about tithing over and over again, and it says tithes of all. Tithes of all. All thine increase. Remember, we just read it, Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. All thine increase. Now let's read some other verses. The Bible says, here's another verse in Leviticus 27:30. We read it just a minute ago. All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It's holy unto the Lord. Deuteronomy 26:2. Ye shall take of the fruit of the first of all the fruit of the earth. The first of all. Numbers 18:12. All the best of the oil. All the best of the wine. Of the wheat and the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them I have given unto thee. Talking about the ministry. Verse number 13. Whatsoever is first ripe in the vine, or in the land, which they shall bring of the Lord, it is thine, talking to the priest, everyone that is clean in thine house shall eat it. So he said, all the best, all the tithe, all the first fruits, all of it, say all. 2 Chronicles 31:5. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, oil, honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundance. Exodus 23:19. The first of all the first fruits of the land that they shall that thou shalt bring unto the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt bring unto the house of the Lord thy God. And I could read verse after verse. It says all, tithes of all. Tithes of all. I, in my life, back in the United States, decided I'm not going to just tithe whenever I get my paycheck. If somebody gives me a pair of shoes, if they give me a birthday gift, if they give me, a nice handshake with some money in my hand, in their hand or something, if I sell a house and I make profit on it, everything that increases me financially, I give 10% of that to God. Now, I don't take the tithe and cut off 10% and give that in the offering plate. I figure the value of that tithe. If somebody gives me a tithe, I figure the value of it, and I say, well, that's probably, and sometimes I might ask, it's probably so much, and if I'm not sure, I just round it up. And I give God in cash that amount of tithe. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody said, do I have to? You don't get it yet. You don't get it yet. Maybe you would prefer to have to buy everything. If that's the way you want to live, fine. But whenever somebody gets it on their heart to do for me and gives me something that I didn't have to buy, they just gifted me with it, I want to say, God, I thank you for that. I'm so grateful. I didn't even have to go buy that. And so I want to give you an honor. I want to honor you with what that was worth, 10%. I tithe all. Our ministry tithes, our church tithes, everything. I don't want anything in my house that's not tithed on. Somebody said, do I have to? No, you get to. You get to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's called honor. It's called love. It's called faith. Now, another thing is that which we just said, the seventh aspect of the tithe, is the tithe is something you want to do. It's not something you have to do. We just sort of talked about that over there in 2 Corinthians. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I want you to go to, let's just solve this issue about some people say tithing's just under the New Testament. Tithing's just under the law. It's not in the New Testament. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 5. Anybody excited about this?
Yes. Amen.
If you're not excited about a truth when the pastor preaches it, you're not excited about a truth, it's because you don't get it.
Yes.
Bible said that whenever revelation comes, it rejoices the heart. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart. I like answers. Whenever I find answers, I like finding answers. I like when I find my answer. My flesh might not like it, but it's God's answer for me. So let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, verse number 17. Verse 17 says, "Think not that I am come to destroy." This is Jesus talking. It's in red. Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And he said, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Verse 20, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees." Now that the scribes and Pharisees were teaching what the law said to do. "Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." Then he went into, for the rest of this chapter, a series of statements that start out like this. Here's one in verse number 21. "You have heard that it has been said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill." Well, that's the law, isn't it? That's one of the Ten Commandments. "Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." Then verse 22. "But I say unto you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause, he shall be in danger of the judgment." Isn't that an interesting thought? What he's saying is the law says don't kill. But what I'm ushering in, I'm saying don't even be angry. That's beyond just don't kill. You know, that's where murder comes from a lot. Anger, hatred, those kinds of things. Heart issues. So he goes, and then he says in verse number 27, "You have heard that it's been said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you," notice this, "you've heard it said." Here's what the law said. In other words, the standard of the law, the righteousness of the law is right here. But Jesus said, I'm ushering in something in that bumps it up. The law says, don't commit adultery. Here's in this case, "But I say unto you, whoever looks on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her in his heart." Huh?
Amen.
He said, here's the standard of the law. I'm bumping everything up.
Amen.
What I'm ushering in is a higher standard than just the law.
All right.
And you could go on, verse number 31. It hath been said. Then verse number 32. "But I say unto you," verse 33, again, "you've heard it hath been said." Verse 34, "But I say unto you," verse 38, "you've heard that it had been said." Verse 39, "But I say unto you," verse 43. So he keeps on going through this, and he's basically saying, I'm ushering in something that has a higher standard than the law.
Amen.
He said, I'm not doing away with it. You see that verse we read? He said, I'm not doing away with it. I'm just simply fulfilling it.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, my, my, my. So when people say, I don't tithe because tithing was under the law and the law has been done away with and I'm not under the law. Oh, I see what you're saying. So you're saying that you do more than tithe.
Come on.
Because you're under a better covenant.
Uh-huh. Yep, yep, yep.
has better promises, more benefits. Huh? Is that what you... Okay, so because it's all better covenant, and all the standards are higher. Huh? I'm just preaching the word to you. So you're saying you give more than 10%. Is that what you're saying? People say, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm not under the law. I don't have to tithe. Oh, you have a better covenant, so you do less. Oh, well, we went ahead and started preaching now. You know the law says thou shalt not kill? Since the law's been done away with, is it okay to kill?
No, sir.
People say I'm not under the law, but yet, right on the other hand, we're still to be fulfilling everything that's in the law. Just not out of legalism, but out of the new nature. And when we walk in the new nature, we won't do anything the law says don't do. And we'll end up doing everything the law says to do.
Amen.
Romans 2 talks about it.
Yes,
amen. Amen. And we've got to get our fuzzy thinking clear about this, because people use that excuse, I don't tithe because it's not under the law. Well, they got a better covenant and they want to do less. That's a heart issue. I said, that's a heart issue. The law says, thou shalt not kill. Isn't that right? So since we're not under the law, is it okay to not keep that commandment?
No.
We actually go way beyond not killing. We just refuse to have envy or offense or unforgiveness. That's what Jesus deals with in the new covenant. But see, when we do that, we end up fulfilling the whole law. Pastor Jay, that is really good preaching. I thought so. Thank you. I just wanted... The Bible said, encourage yourself in the Lord. Hallelujah. I knew you'd get excited eventually. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can you see the heart of it? Can you see the heart of it? Now let's go back, before we go any further, let's go back. I want to go back to something that the Bible said. The tithe is holy unto the Lord. It is the Lord's. There's a difference between tithes and offerings. Tithe is something that we are not giving as an offering. Tithe is just returning to God what He said is His. Isn't that right? Pastor Ike, do you have your keys with you for your vehicle that you drove here this morning? Okay, get ready. I'm going to use that as an illustration. Oh, we ran off camera. Hi, everybody. Let's say Pastor Ike says, let's say I get a hold of Ike's keys, and I say, Pastor Ike, now whose keys are these? They're his, to his car, right? Let's say I get his keys. They were laying there or something, and I grabbed them. And I said, all right, Pastor Ike, I just love you. I want to give you a set of keys, and I want to give you a car. Here, Pastor Ike, be blessed.
It's mine now.
It wasn't mine to begin with.
Right. Amen.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
It wasn't. I can't give him that car. It wasn't mine to give.
Right. Amen.
It was his. I'm just returning to him what is already his.
Amen.
That's what the tithe is.
Amen.
It's returning to him what is already his.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Returning to God what's already God's.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Then the Bible teaches tithes and offerings.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's whenever we get into giving something that is ours.
Amen.
God said is ours.
Amen.
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 I want to explain that, because I didn't want you to misunderstand, because I didn't clarify that part about the tithe being God's. It's holy unto the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Amen. There was a lady sitting in church one day, and after service, she walked past the preacher and shook his hand and said, Pastor, I'm so sorry. My baby was crying so much in the service. He was teething, you know. Anybody know what I mean by teething? When the teeth break through, it hurts, you know, and sometimes babies cry. So sorry, my baby was crying so much in the service, he's teething. And the pastor said, oh, that's all right. I understand. I've had children. I understand. He said, but I just have a question. Why was your husband crying? And she said, oh, he's tithing. That's not willing. That's not want to do it. That's not honor. That's not worship. Some of you haven't laughed yet since you got into service. Well, praise God. So the tithe is in the New Testament. Now, let's look at another verse, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. The reason we're going through this, while you're turning to 2 Timothy 2, I'll say this. Many people argue if tithing is New Testament because they don't know what God said in the Old Testament about tithing. They just thought it was a mere cash payment, like we said. But it was a heart issue. Amen. The New Testament clearly says that things that happened in the Old Testament are types and shadows for the New Testament, doesn't it? They're types and shadows. If that's so, what was tithing a type of? You understand what I'm talking about? What you can understand what heart God was looking for, because the Bible said in the New Testament, we worship in spirit and in truth. What was the spirit of tithing to be? It was the spirit. We've gone through all these things, and now you know the answers. Can somebody call one of them out? Worship. Anybody got another one? Faith. Anybody got another one? Honor. Anybody got another one? Huh? Thanksgiving. Love. Honor. We've gotten a lot of these things. You're calling them out. Well, that was, you can even see that in the Old Testament, can't you? And we worship in the spirit of the Old Testament, in the spirit of what God was looking for. When he said, bring the tithe, honor me, put me first, worship me. He's basically saying, I'm showing you the reason for all this. And when we come into the New Testament, we do it in the spirit of what God was looking for, not a mere cash payment. Does that make any sense? Hallelujah. And the overarching spirit of it is putting him first. Amen. Putting God first. Amen. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits. Over and over again, those verses we read through the Old Testament there, those verses that talked about tithing, it used the term tithing and first fruits interchangeably. It would start out calling it the first fruits, and then it would end up by saying that it was the tithe. The tithe is the first. That's the spirit of tithing. We put God first. We worship in the spirit and in truth. We're not paying God off so that our tires don't go flat. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. So, did you find 2 Timothy chapter number 2? We want to put faith into you so that when you bring your tithe, you do it with faith and with a heart that God accepts it. You might say, well, I'm a tither and so forth. Well, then what we're doing is we're building your faith so that you get the benefit out of it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And if we're not, if you're not a tither, we're showing you what God is looking for.
Yes.
Amen. And enabling you by the word of God to come into it by faith and receive on the level that he wants you to receive on. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 6. It says, let's go back to verse number 4. He starts talking about the ministry in verse number 3, but he said in verse number 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. He's talking to Timothy, a young minister, and he's saying, when you went into the ministry, it was like a soldier going out and fighting for his nation. And he said, he wars and he doesn't entangle himself with the affairs of life, that he may please him that hath chosen him to be a soldier. He's basically talking about military soldiers are paid by the government. He doesn't have to earn an income and then go buy his sword or his machine gun. Back then it was swords and stuff, but you know, today machine guns and stuff. The government supplies that. They pay for all those things, and they even pay the soldier to fight or whatever he's doing. Isn't that right? He doesn't have to entangle himself with the affairs of civilian life, getting his paycheck, going out and working a job. He's working for the government. That's what he's talking about. He doesn't entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that's chosen him to be a soldier. Then verse 5, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive. He's talking about, he's using the military illustration of the ministry. Then he's using the athletics and running a race illustration in verse 5. And now he's going to use a farming illustration in verse 6. These are just illustrations. Then the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. He's talking to a young man in the ministry, and he's encouraging him that just like the government pays his soldiers, isn't that right? And a farmer reaps a crop, he takes the first. Isn't that what he's talking about? That's tithing in the New Testament. People say tithing's not in the New Testament. Right there, it's in the New Testament. Isn't that right? All those shoutings make me want to preach that a little bit longer. Another place we already read, Mark 12, 17. He talks about, render to Caesar what's Caesar. Render to God what is God's. And verse number, let's go to Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter number 11. Poke your neighbor while you're turning there. I see tithing in the New Testament now. Luke 11, verse number 42. Luke 11, verse number 42. It says, but woe unto you, Pharisees. Jesus is talking here. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs. In other words, they tithe whatever comes in out of the garden. All manner of herbs. And you pass over judgment and the love of God. In other words, these heart issues, you're forgetting about them. You're just you're meticulous about doing everything the law says. And then he said this. Jesus is speaking. Tell your neighbor, this is Jesus speaking. Not the Old Testament. This is Jesus speaking. Then Jesus said, these ought you to have done, and not to leave the others undone. These what? Tithing. He said, you ought to tithe. Yeah. Amen. Who's saying that?
Jesus.
Moses back under the law is saying that. Huh? No, Jesus is saying
Jesus.
That.
Amen.
Jesus said you ought to tithe.
Yes,
amen. Amen. Well, that went over like a lead balloon. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. See, faith comes by hearing. That's why we're taking the time to go over all this. We want you to hear what the New Testament actually says. We want you to hear the heart of God.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Look at verse 13 and 14. 1 Corinthians 9, 13 and 14. Paul's writing, and this is written directly to us as the church. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of what? The temple. Now, the temple is a reference to the Old Testament house of God. You know, we know in the New Testament we're the temple of God, but he's referencing Old Testament worship. Isn't that right? We're not under that Old Testament worship, but he's referencing that Old Testament temple worship. And he said, don't you know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait of the altar are partakers with the altar. He's talking about in the Old Testament, the priests lived off of what they brought and put on the altar. Remember that? Yeah, if you go back there, you can read all that. Then he said in verse number, this is Paul speaking, under inspiration of the Spirit, God's inspired him to write it, and God put it in the canon of his scripture. Verse 14, even so hath the Lord ordained. This is not Old Testament law. The Lord is Jesus. Jesus has ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. That's talking about the tithe and offerings. Just like they had tithes and offerings in the Old Testament. Well, now it was regulated under the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's not regulated like, you know, every 3 years you do this and all that. There's a lot of stuff that's not for us in the New Testament. But the general principle of the tithes and offerings, just like it was in the Old Testament, that is in the New Testament.
Right. Amen.
That's about, what is that number? I don't know. I lost count there. We're already at about five different scriptures that is in the New Testament. Now, here's the final one. And if this one doesn't show you, then nothing will. Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter number 7. Hebrews chapter 7 was where we were a while ago. But let's look back there. Praise the Lord. Everybody still glad you came to church? Glory to God. This is not something God's trying to extort out of us. It's something He's saying, if you'll put me in my proper place, I'll do things for you and it'll take the limits off of me. Hebrews 7, we've seen this first. We read the first four verses. It talks about Abraham giving tithes to Melchizedek, right? Now let's go down. We could. There's a lot more here. I'm not going to take time to read it all. But let's go down to verse number 8. It says here, verse number 8. This is Hebrews 7, verse number 8. Here, men that die receive tithes. Now he's talking there about the people that were continuing to go on with the temple worships because they didn't receive Jesus. They were still worshiping God under the Old Testament law. He said, here, men that die receive tithes. But notice, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Who do we have witness that he lives? That's talking about Jesus. Jesus. Now, if you read all through this, he talks about Abraham tithing to Melchizedek, and he makes it plain that Melchizedek is a type of Christ. Amen. And that's why he said, here, men that die receive tithes, but there, talking about in heaven, there, he receiveth them, he receives tithes, of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Tithing is, in the New Testament, the Bible said, receives our tithes. That's what that's saying. He's receiving our tithes today. It's not just given to a church or a ministry. It's given to the Lord. He's receiving them. We need to understand that. But the thing about it is, if tithing's not for the New Testament, what is Jesus, the author of the New Covenant, the one who founded the New Testament? Amen. What's he doing receiving our tithes? I'll tell you why. Because it is New Testament. I said it is New Testament. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have a better covenant established upon better promises. And that ought to be a minimum for us. Not something that, well, that's all I'm going to do. That ought to be a minimum for us because we love Him and we worship Him and we're redeemed and we thank God for it. Hallelujah. Jesus said, render to Caesar what's Caesar's, render to God what's God's. Most of the time, Caesar charges a whole lot more than God says, this belongs to me. Do we honor our government more than we honor God? See, when people just think I've got to do this, they miss the whole thing. It's an honor thing, isn't it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the ultimate heart test. Amen. You should not give because of pressure. You should give because you are on the inside, you're wanting to do this. Isn't that right? Let me just say a few more things. We'll wrap this up. The Bible says that when there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 9, it says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that we might be rich. Isn't that right? We're already rich. Jesus, we were preaching that last night. Jesus already made us rich. So we're not tithing to get rich. We're already made rich. Amen. Now, I just took a long service a long time to lay a foundation of tithing. We could build on top of this a whole lot of New Testament truths we've shared in the ministers' conference, for example. But the thing we've got to understand is we're not tithing to get money or to get God to give us something. We're already blessed. Hallelujah. We tithe because we honor Him with all that we have. Hallelujah. It's an expression of our faith in the one who's doing this for us. And it's acknowledging Him as our source. We're saying He's the one that's doing all this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So it's not to get blessed, but we do it because we are blessed. Hallelujah. We do it because we already are blessed. We are people who are able to do this. You know, the Bible says, honor the Lord with the substance, with the first of the... Sometimes people say, I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to tithe. That is an impossibility.
Yes, sir.
There is no such thing as not being able to tithe.
That's right. Yes,
and I'll tell you why. Here's the reason why. Because if you have nothing, the tithe is zero.
Amen.
And if you have nothing, you can afford to tithe because the tithe is zero.
That's right.
But if you have one naira, do you know within that one naira, what's a 10%? You got a coin that's a
ten kobo.
Yes. 10 kobo. The tithe on one naira is 10 kobo.
That's right.
If you have one naira, you have 10 kobo. There's no such thing as having something and not having the tithe. Because the tithe on nothing is nothing. It's only when you have something or you get something that now the tithe belongs to the Lord. And 10% is all... In 100%, there's always a tenth in there. It's not possible to not be able to tithe. Somebody said, but yeah, I just don't have enough. The issue with people is they're not putting it first. They're not putting it first. Well, I can't afford to because I got this bill and I got that bill. I got that bill. Well, listen, whenever it's first, you can always afford to do it.
Amen.
Well, preaching good, preaching better than your amening. It's always there. It's always there. It's a matter of what is your priority. Amen. Now, people who don't tithe, they're still living with a poverty mentality. They're saying, I can't afford to. The Bible said you're rich. We looked at that last night, isn't that right? And so they think they are poor. I can't afford to. Well, no, we can. We can afford to. We give tithe because we have it. Amen? The tithe is an acknowledgement of our dependence on God. Is acknowledging that He's our source. He's the one that's doing all these things, and we're depending on Him. Because if I hold on to the tithe, I'm saying, I got to have this. I'm depending on this. But when I give it, I'm saying, I'm not depending on what I got in the bank. I'm saying, I'm dependent on God. If I was putting my faith in money, I wouldn't be giving any away. Because I need to keep what I got. Amen. So tithing is a faith thing. I said it's a faith thing. Well, I can't afford to. No, it's not a matter of you don't have it. It's a matter of a faith issue. And making Him your priority. It's an expression of your faith. Not an expression of your faith to get blessed. Isn't that right? But your faith in the fact you are blessed. You're already blessed. Blessed people are able to give, can't they? Praise the Lord. You have permission to believe you're rich. Bible said so. We looked at that last night. And so we bring God His first because we believe we're rich. We're saying whenever we tithe, this money that I have is not my source. This money in my, you know, I got money, I bring my tithe. I'm saying this money's not my source. Because if it were, I wouldn't give anything to God. Amen. I'd just be keeping it. Wouldn't I be keeping it if God's my source? So what this is the ultimate heart test. It's the ultimate faith test. As you develop in your walk of faith, there's always something God requires of you that forces you to acknowledge your dependence on Him and His place of lordship in your life. Amen. The tithe is one of those things. To fail to or to cease to tithe is to cease to walk by faith. Abraham tithed out of faith. Isaac tithed out of faith. Under the law, it was regulated. It was required. We're not under the law, but we still are walking by faith.
Yes, sir.
Amen? Hallelujah. Now, in the United States, a tithe on a dollar is a dime. We call it a dime. You have different names for your currency. We call the 10% of a dollar is a dime. And so I tell people, if you're struggling to tap into your supply, you can turn it on a dime.
Right. Come on. Amen.
You can turn it on 10%. You can turn it on honoring God. That's a faith expression. See, we talk about speaking words of faith, and that's an expression of faith. Giving 10% is an expression of faith. Honoring God first is an expression of faith. Because if I don't trust Him, then I got to hold on to this because I might need it because, you know, I'm putting my faith in this. But putting Him first is an expression of faith. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, you can turn this, you can turn your issues on 10%. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of the Word this morning? Let me finish up with saying something here in Malachi chapter number 3. Malachi chapter number 3. I checked with the Lord many times on whether I'm supposed to go this way, and He kept putting it in my... So if it bothers you, take it up with the Lord. Malachi 3, look what it says. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. There may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, I'll not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. There's not room enough to contain it, or no room enough to receive it. In other words, that's abundance, isn't it? Go down there, verse number 13. Right after he talked about that, he said, now I got something else I want to say to you. He said, your words have been stout against me. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against you, Lord? Verse 14, you have said, it is vain to serve God. Prophet is it that we have kept his what? Ordinance, which is singular, which is talking about what the ordinance he had just spoken of, which was the tithe. He said, your words are stout against me, and you're saying it's vain to serve God. And what prophet is it that we have kept this ordinance of tithing? That we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. In other words, we've put him first. Huh? So he said, tithing, after you tithe, you need to say something. It's important when you bring the tithe that you say the right thing. He was saying, he talked to him about the tithe here and made mention of what they needed to make changes about. But then he said, there's another thing you're going to have to understand about the tithe. He said, don't tithe and then say, this doesn't do us any good. We've never seen any good out of this. He said, speak faith. Amen. Speak faith. In other words, bring your faith to the tithe. Attach your faith to the tithe. Whenever you bring your tithe, say, Father, I thank you that I'm living under an open heaven. I thank you I'm a blessed man. Our family's blessed. I thank you, Father God. We honor you, put you first, and seek first the kingdom. And all these things are being added to us. We thank you, Father God. Satan's under our feet. We thank you, Father God, that I have a favor everywhere I go. I thank you everything I put my hand to prospers. And you just speak faith words. And thank you, Father, for receiving this in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, you're receiving my tithe. And your blessing is on me. I'm honoring you. I thank you, Father God, everything I put my hand to prospers this week. Speak faith words. Amen. Rather than, nothing ever good has happened to me out of this. Amen. Amen. Can you see the heart of tithing?
Yes, sir.
It's not a mere cash payment.
Amen.
That could be the title on this sermon. Tithing, not a mere cash payment. Hallelujah. Let me encourage you. If you've never entered into this, I have pastored for 17 years, and I watch people that struggle in these things, and they, I'm thinking of one lady. She kept bucking the tithe. I wasn't putting any pressure on her. I'm just saying she didn't want to hear the word, and she just wasn't want to do it. She went through all kinds of struggles. I mean if I went through, she broke her arm. They had a fire that destroyed a bunch of property. Their grandbaby almost died. Just stuff after stuff. I mean, five different real traumatic things. And she's like, she came wanting to talk to us, and we said, what have you done with honoring God? What have you done putting God first? Oh, I don't believe that's for us today. Although we had preached everything that I've just preached to you. I said to her, well, I said, you just do it your way then.
Yeah. Amen.
How's that working out for you?
All right. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? I wasn't putting pressure on her. I just knew that she had an open door to the devil. That's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about? No, God wasn't the one causing the fire. God wasn't doing all that, because it's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But see, the Bible says in James, submit yourself therefore to God, then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Any area we're not willing to submit to God and his direction and how he says to do things, he said, that opens the door to not being able to resist the devil. Because we can't always resist the devil whenever we're not submitted to God. It's not something we ought to be forced to do. In fact, nobody in this church, your pastor, he's not going to force you to tithe. That's the heart of God, so it's not their heart. Amen? But whenever you willingly submit yourself to what God says do, now you can resist the devil. I wanted to get into a whole lot more of this, but we just wanted to lay a real good foundation and help us see this morning the heart of this. Oh, I love the heart of it. I want to know the spirit of what God's looking for, not just the legalities of it. You know, I don't want to just cross my T's and dot my I's. I want to actually I want to please God with my heart. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen? Stand to your feet with me. Did you get anything out of the word? I'll answer that for you. Yes. Yes, you did. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I challenge you. The Bible said there in Malachi, prove me. God said, prove me. I challenge you to take this word and say, Father, I'm going to put you to the test. I'm going to put you to the test. And don't go into it in unbelief. Go into it in faith. If you've not been a tither, go into it in faith and say, I'm going to prove this works. I'm going to prove this works. And just honor God and watch what God does. But attach your faith to it. Amen. Say the right things. Hold up your hands and let me pray for you. Father, we receive the word that you've given us this morning. We're so grateful. We're so grateful for answers. Father God, people are looking for answers. This morning you've given us answers. Hallelujah. We come with a desire to walk in the light. We come with an understanding that walking by faith is what pleases you. Lord, we submit ourselves to the way you say you do things. And we delight to put you first, honor you, and to worship you with the tithe. We thank you, Father, for every single person here this morning, that they're blessed. That they're blessed in all they put their hand to. And I thank you, Father God, as they honor you, you take them into increase. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, any person here that's struggling with this, we ask you, help them. Help them. We thank you for this grace that the Bible talks about. And I thank you, Father God, that you help them to tap into that and tap into that nature of their spirit rather than their minds or the nature of their flesh. In Jesus' name. And we thank you. We declare everyone that obeys you, walks in the light of this, they're on their way up. Hallelujah. They're on their way out. They're on their way to the good of the land and all the fullness of everything you have for them. We bless them with that. We say it's so because your word says it's so. And everyone that agreed shouted with a loud voice. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Greetings from Spirit of Faith in Iowa. We look forward to the next time we get to see you. And we love your pastors. Your pastors are precious to us. They have been true spiritual sons and daughters. And they have your best interest at heart. Amen. They're not shucking and jiving. You know what I mean by shucking and jiving? Does that mean anything here in Nigeria? Playing games? Yeah, huh? Not playing games. They're the real deal. Amen. They're not manipulating you. They're not here to extort something out of you. They want you. They have your best interest at heart. So they're precious to us because they have God's heart like that. And we encourage you. Oh, let me say this. Can I tell you something that will bless you? When their birthday comes around, it's just passed, I believe, back in August, was it? Their birthday comes around, their anniversary comes around. Maybe you already do this. I don't know. But just hand them a bunch of money and bless them real good. Amen. Somebody said, do I have to? No, you don't have to. But just because you love them. How many of you can hear the heart of what we're talking about? And so I encourage you, somebody that's kind of been given some leadership around here ought to just start getting that together whenever some special day comes around. When Christmas is coming. I know so because he says that all the time. Christmas is coming. So somebody gather together and start getting some things together for them for Christmas. Would that be all right? Yeah, be a blessing to them because you appreciate them. Don't you appreciate them? They're a great blessing to you. So I want to encourage you to do things like that. If you haven't been doing that, maybe you have been, but start doing that and just say, hey, I love you. Thank God for you. Thank you for, you know, because how many of you know they sow their lives into ministering to you? They could be living in the United States, running big businesses, making big money. Well, that got quiet. But they came over here to sow their lives. Don't you appreciate people like that? Okay, three of you. How about the rest of you? Don't you appreciate people like that? Come on now. I do. And so those kind of people in my life that give their life to getting me the word, I honor them. I bless them. I give them things. And I tell you, Christmas is coming. So you ought to just buy them some clothes or give them some money. They can buy their own clothes. They can probably pick out what they like better than you can. But just be a blessing to them, all right? You going to do that? If you love Pastor Jay, do that for them. All right. We love you, Pastor Ike. I'll turn it over to you.